Je me baladais sur l'avenue, le cœur ouvert à l'inconnu. J'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui, et ce fut toi. Je t'ai dit n'importe quoi, il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser.
Bonjour à tous, bienvenue à Open Language, je m'appelle Adam.
Bonjour, c'est Tara.
We should probably switch now, right? We've confused a lot of our great Open Language listeners. Hey guys, it's Adam.
And it's Tara.
And today we are traveling to...
France. La France.
Right, okay, so we've got an intermediate lesson talking about all kinds of cool French stuff, right?
Yeah. And we have two friends. One, Pete, is his name. He is going to France. So jealous. And Anne, his friend, has been there a few times.
Old France hand.
And she is giving him some recommendations and asking him about his trip.
Okay, so let's find out what those recommendations are by listening to the dialogue.
Awesome. Hey, Pete. I hear you're heading to France.
Hey, Anne. Yeah, I'm going there with my wife next week.
That's so cool. How long are you going for?
About a week. 4 days in Paris and two in Provence.
What's on the agenda while you're there?
The hot spots in Paris, of course. The Eiffel Tower, the Seine, the Louvre.
Oh, those are must-sees. Seeing the Mona Lisa at the Louvre is at the top of my bucket list.
Well, I'm not that arty, but I'm sure it will still be impressive to see.
Your wife must be excited about the shopping.
Yes, she is. She's been talking about the Champs-Élysées and Galeries Lafayette nonstop.
What are you going to do in Provence?
We'll check out the lavender fields. The flowers are blooming right now. Other than that, just unwinding, enjoying the view, the food and the wine.
That sounds amazing. Have a great time.
Will do. Thanks.
Okay, so we just heard Pete and Anne talking about Pete's upcoming trip.
That's right, and she asked a really good question here, right? Really kind of natural way to ask about this trip.
Mm-hmm. I hear you're heading to France.
You're heading to France.
Just heading in the direction you're going to.
You're going to, exactly. Yes. So you're heading home, you're heading out. You're
heading to work.
Heading to, oh, that's boring.
I know.
That's boring.
Not so fun, not like France. Cool. And he says that he is traveling to France with his wife next week.
And how long is he going for?
He's going about a week.
Okay, that sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, 4 days in Paris, because there's a lot to see, and two in Provence.
Provence.
Right. Okay. So with this word and this name of this place, just a note on this, it's not province.
It looks like province.
It does. But it is Provence.
Provence.
With a French accent.
And even like with like the most American accent you could imagine, it would still be like Provence.
Provence.
Or something like that.
Exactly.
It basically just means like the countryside.
Yes. Yeah. The provincial area.
The provincial area.
So then Anne asks Pete, what's on the agenda while you're there?
I think this is a question that I probably ask more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, what are you going to do?
Right. So when you're traveling, often you'll have the word itinerary that you use.
Right.
But that's kind of an official time-by-time, day-by-day
really
schedule.
Really formal and rigid.
And so if you just say what's on the agenda, it's what do you have planned?
Yep.
So what's he going to do in Paris to start?
Well, it sounds like he's going to hit the hot spots.
Right. So hot spots are the hot places, the popular places.
It's like everywhere in Paris, though.
Paris is a hot spot.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And now you actually use the word or the verb hit the
hot
spots.
Yeah.
So that's the verb we use when you say you're going to the popular places. I'm going to hit all the hot spots.
Or I'm going to hit the bar.
Yes. Oh,
sorry, I mean the library. I'm going to hit the library.
Right, to study, yes. And what are the hot spots in Paris that he's going to?
Well, I think the first one everyone will know.
Totally.
It's the Eiffel Tower.
Right. Pronunciation-wise, though.
Eiffel.
Eiffel, not Eiffel.
Yeah, it's not Eiffel.
Now, the next one is the Sen.
This kind of tripped up our friend Connor pronouncing this one. Yeah. The Sen.
Yes, the Sen. That is the big river that flows through Paris.
Yes, yes.
And the last one, you guys know this.
Okay, this is the famous museum called the Louvre.
The Louvre. And you can say the Louvre.
The
That's
Louvre,
fine.
Yeah.
With a French accent, it's the Louvre.
It's the problem is the R at
yes.
the end. Because this R, it's not an English R. It's not a Chinese R. It's a French R.
So you have to roll your tongue
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, there's a bit of rolling going on. Yeah. But even if you just say the Louvre.
Everyone will know.
Everyone will know.
Totally. And what does Anne say to this?
Well, she says those are all must-sees.
Right. So must-see. This is our grammar point for this lesson.
Okay.
And what's a must-see?
Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory, right? You must see it.
Right. Now, the two things here, well, there's three. You can use it as a verb.
Okay.
You can use it as a singular noun.
Okay.
It is a must-see.
It's a must-see.
Or you can also use it, like here, as a plural noun.
Okay, must see.
So there are lots of different must somethings that we will do. So check out the grammar section and you'll see a few more examples there.
Okay. So we've mentioned hotspots. We've mentioned must sees. There's another word that they use about like things
you got to do.
You got to do.
Yeah. And that is bucket list.
Bucket list.
Things are on your bucket list.
Okay.
So what's on your bucket list? What must you do?
What must you do? Personally, my bucket list is pretty short. Mm-hmm. There's not much I need to do. I know some of you guys have a pretty long bucket list.
Yeah. Now, do you know why it's called a bucket list?
Do tell.
So we have kind of a...
A phrase?
A phrase that means kick the bucket.
Mm.
So that means die.
It means die.
It means die. So a bucket list is the list of things that you want to do before you die.
Before you kick the bucket.
Yeah, before you kick the bucket. So that's where it comes from. Just thought of that right now, actually. Makes sense?
It does make sense. Now, something else that kind of makes sense here is that Anne and Pete don't necessarily have the same tastes.
No. Pete is not that arty.
Okay.
So, you know, Anne has recommended going to the Louvre.
Museums.
With lots of art. It's
right.
huge. And he says he's not arty.
Not arty.
So he doesn't like, or well, I mean, maybe he likes it, but maybe he doesn't understand art.
Right.
So he's not a creative person. That kind of thing. He'd rather go somewhere else.
Our good friend Spencer always used to say arty farty.
Arty farty.
Whenever Jenny would mention something kind of arty farty, Spencer would say,
yes.
I don't really care about that. It's arty farty.
Definitely.
But the thing is even though Pete knows that maybe the museum is not for him, he still kind of thinks it would be impressive.
Right. So if something's impressive, it makes an impression
yeah.
on you.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, the Mona Lisa, ironically, is very small.
Very small.
But it's so famous because it was stolen and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Big story. But it's, you got to see it before you die.
It is a very impressive painting.
Exactly.
Okay, now we get to another important question. Pete is not going alone. He is going with his wife.
Right, and she is pretty excited about the shopping.
Okay.
So the most famous street, Champs-Élysées.
Oh, Champs-Élysées.
So that is the big boulevard.
It's big boulevard, really wide. The Canadian embassy is on that boulevard, and lots of shops that I can't afford.
Yes, exactly. And at the end of it is something called the Arc de Triomphe.
Right.
And that is there's a picture of it in the culture section.
Okay.
So you can check that out, and you can see the Champs-Élysées with the Arc de Triomphe at the end.
Okay.
So what's the other fancy shopping place?
Well, this is a little too fancy for me, but so the Galerie Lafayette.
Right.
The Lafayette Gallery.
Exactly. So just another name for a gallery.
And this kind of place, it sounds like, again, not really my kind of place, kind of upscale shopping.
Right. Didn't you say you got your shirt at Value Village?
I got my shirt at Value Village. So, we should put that in the culture section.
Exactly.
Opposite of France.
Yes. And so where are they going after Paris?
Okay, so they're going to Provence.
And they are going to check out the lavender fields.
Okay, so check out, you guys have probably heard once or twice here mm-hmm. in Open Language. It could mean just look at.
Yeah.
It could mean, you know, like investigate.
Right. It can also mean like if you go to the library, check out a book.
Check out a book.
So again, this is an expansion word. So there's lots of examples there.
Okay. So what exactly is going to be checked out here?
Lavender fields.
Ooh, smells good.
Smells good and relaxing. So maybe they'll have a nap.
Okay.
They'll just fall asleep in the field.
Eat some cheese, yeah. Bread and cheese.
So you guys know lavender, beautiful, relaxing smell, helps you sleep, that kind of thing. Purple.
Purple, yeah.
Purple. And the lavender fields, they have the flowers blooming right now.
Okay, so the flowers have opened.
Right.
They are in bloom.
They are coming up. And the only other thing they're going to do other than that is just unwinding.
Okay, so unwind just means relax.
Right, so if you imagine a spring or a coil kind of thing, and it's kind of really tight, but if you pull it, it relaxes a little bit.
It relaxes. Even a person, right, can be really wound up.
Totally.
Like, too much work. He's really wound up. He needs to unwind.
Today I'm a little wound up, I have to say.
Today has been an interesting day. We should put that in the culture section.
Exactly. We've had a few snags today, so I'm a little wound up, which is the opposite of unwound or unwind.
That's right.
Yes, good example. So, and then they're going to have food and wine and just chill.
And that pretty much sounds like France
right there. It's awesome.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and listen to Pete and Anne one more time, and then maybe we can talk about our own experience.
Perfect.
All right.
Hey, Pete. I hear you're heading to France.
Hey, Anne. Yeah, I'm going there with my wife next week.
That's so cool. How long are you going for?
About a week. 4 days in Paris and 2 in Provence.
What's on the agenda while you're there?
The hot spots in Paris, of course. The Eiffel Tower, the Seine, the Louvre.
Oh, those are must-sees. Seeing the Mona Lisa at the Louvre is at the top of my bucket list.
Well, I'm not that arty, but I'm sure it will still be impressive to see.
Your wife must be excited about the shopping.
Yes, she is. She's been talking about the Champs-Élysées and Galeries Lafayette nonstop.
What are you going to do in Provence?
We'll check out the lavender fields. The flowers are blooming right now. Other than that, just unwinding, enjoying the view, the food and the wine.
That sounds amazing. Have a great time.
Will do. Thanks.
Okay, so we just heard the dialogue again. Lots of must-sees in France.
Right.
And Paris.
Especially Paris,
and,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So you were telling me earlier, Adam, that you had an interesting experience
Paris.
In Paris.
Yeah, all of my bank cards didn't work there.
Oh, my God.
Which I would imagine, like, now they probably would.
Yeah.
But, like, at the time, I remember my parents saying, like, no, they'll work. That work. And then I just went to France but didn't have any money.
Oh my God. And France, not a cheap country.
Well, I imagine if I were in, you know, the countryside somewhere in Provence, I could just, you know, like eat berries and relax.
Lavender if you needed
to. I just eat some lavender. But Paris is not a good city to have no money in.
Right.
Just so my memories of, you know, seeing the Eiffel Tower and, you know, the Champs-Élysées are, well, I have a certain kind of impression.
From the outside.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't get in.
Yeah, I couldn't pay to get in. So they were all very, very impressive. But at the same time, I remember seeing France through the eyes of a very poor person.
I went to France when I was 16, and which was a very long, long time ago.
Mm.
But it's still kind of etched in my memory.
Okay.
And it's one of my place. It's on my bucket list to go back and spend quite a bit of time there. I have a fascination with Paris, especially, and kind of the south part of France.
Oh, yeah, like Nice.
And I like the castles and the cathedrals and things like that, because I'm the architecture buff.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that was kind of a quick recap of our experiences with France. And so let us know, have you ever been to France? What did you see? What did you not see?
Right. Or do you want to go to France? Are you studying French?
Totally.
You know, if you'd like to leave some French words for us.
And I'll let you translate those ones because my French is a little rusty.
Yeah, mine is not the best. but just going back to my memory of France. It's amazing how quickly you can start to speak when, you know, excuse me, I don't have any money. Can you help me? Excuse me, I don't have any money. Can you help me?
Yeah, no, because we in Canada, we have to learn French in high school.
Right.
So we do have the basics.
The basics.
But it's kind of lapsed a little.
Yeah, a little rusty.
A little rusty. So, yeah, we look forward to reading your comments.
Okay, guys, as always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Take care.
Ce matin sur l'avenue, deux amoureux tout étourdis par la longue nuit. Et de l'étoile à la concorde, un orchestre a mis le corps. Tous les oiseaux du point du jour chantent l'amour.